Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on now, put our hands together and praise the Lord one more time. He is exalted. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. God is God, and we want to worship him today. We bless the name of the Lord today. We thank you. Amen and amen. We're going to do something special. They're setting up some chairs today, but we want to just lift up the name of Jesus and thank God for his grace and for his mercy and for his good compassion towards us. Amen. We want to welcome all of our visitors one more time. We're glad that you are here. God bless you, my brother and sister. God bless you all. Good to see you. Anybody here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? Well, praise God. We're glad that you are here. And please come again. Anybody else? We're thanking the Lord for his grace and for his mercy. You know, God is good. They sang so eloquently, beautiful. They set us up. Praise God. If you haven't been blessed, I don't know what's going to bless you today. Amen. You know, I can just say the benediction because we serve an omnipotent God. We serve a mighty God. We serve an incredible God. And we just want to lift him up for a moment here as we praise him for what he is doing for each one of us. I know God has blessed you, and I know he's blessing you right now. Amen. You know, I want to open up the word of God and make it plain and simple today just for a moment as we set up this particular sharing today. God has blessed us. God has kept us. God has smiled on us. And I thank God for just keeping us because he's worthy of our praise. That's all we're doing today on the Sabbath day. And by the way, if you didn't know, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now remember, you can't keep something holy that's not made holy already. Amen? So you're on the right day, in the right place, with the right people, doing the right thing at the right time. Praise the Lord. Amen? Couldn't say it any better than that. You're in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing the right thing. So you're right in the will of God, and you've been blessed by God and you're purposed by God, and we thank him for that today. I want to thank our band. Hey, they're awesome. We have a great, awesome band. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together and celebrate them? They are blessing us right now. They have blessed us today. And you know, I want to just go into the Word of God right now for a moment. We have these chairs here because they're going to be individuals who are going to be sharing their testimony today, and they're going to talk about what God has done for them. And that's something that's powerful because sometimes you can hear the preaching of the word, but it's nothing like seeing it in real action, lived out in action. What God is doing for us. I know we come here and we worship, we gather, and we praise the Lord, but then we go back to our separate homes, and then we leave and we come back. And you know, you need to know that God is moving in the lives of people in a mighty way. We're living in the last days, and you are aware of that. And so today we want to talk about victory is in your testimony. And we're going to open up the Word of God briefly here and talk about, read a scripture text and set it up. And then there are going to be individuals who've been designated to come, and they're going to talk about what God has done for them. Now, they went out last week, and they had an experience, and they're going to share with us what God has done. A little something different. Sometimes you hear the Word of God preach, but you know it's nothing like seeing the Word of God preached out in the lives of his people and what they're doing. Sometimes we don't get that opportunity to hear from others. Many times I thought it would be nice to hear testimonies from individuals because sometimes we sit in the church and we see faces, but we don't know their experience. And sometimes when they go through something, we assume that they're going through something or not going through something. But I want you to know that God is going to take all of us to glory one day. Amen. You believe that? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask now that you would speak to our hearts. And as we open up the Bible, the Word of God, as we come aside just for a moment, just to pause in your presence, we ask, Lord, now that you would speak to us. We pray that today would be a relevant move of God and that as a result of coming here today, our hearts would be encouraged, our minds would be lifted, our spirits would be just rejuvenated to know that we are on the winning side and we serve an amazing God. Now bless us, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to be reading from the King James, New King James Version, but you may see on the screen the King James Version, and I'm going to read this in order for us to see what God has for us today. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, it's broken up in three sections: the woman and the child and the dragon, Satan thrown out of heaven, and then the woman persecuted. The section we're dealing with begins with verse 7, and the Bible says in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. The Bible says war broke out of where, everybody? It broke out in heaven. Now, if war broke out in heaven, sometimes, you know, why would you be discouraged to think it cannot break out in the church? Now, I'm not suggesting that. We're not encouraging that. But the Bible says that there was a place called heaven, and it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was altogether lovely. There was no sin. There was no discord. But the Bible says war broke out in heaven. You know, I always wondered, where did it start? How did it begin? Who started it? Well, the word says Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Now, I want you to understand, no matter what going on in your life, I like that part right there. The dragon and his angels, they fought, but they did not prevail. Amen? Now, that ought to make you encouraged. You ought to shout right there, because the Bible says whatever is going on in your life right now, it is because of demonic activity. The devil wants to take you out. He's not your friend. He is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to make up our minds and understand that we're in a cosmic conflict. We're in a great controversy. We're in the battle for our very souls. And the word says, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And the word says, so that dragon was cast out, the serpent, the old devil called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast out. Praise God. And they overcame. Now, I like this right here. This is where we're going to park. And they overcame him by what, everybody? Come on, everybody. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And then it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Now, the devil is angry. He hates us. He's angry. He's upset. He's perturbed. He's dissatisfied, and he's taken back. Why? Because he's got a whooping of all time. God, the Bible says, Michael and his angels fought, and the devil did not prevail. He was cast out of heaven, and guess where he's come? Down to earth. Now, the Bible says, therefore rejoice. Everybody else rejoicing, but we ought to, just in so many words, how can we rejoice? Because the enemy of our souls has been cast down. Now, I had a brother-in-law when I used to watch football with him years ago when he was younger. We would watch the game, and he would pick a team. And it was amazing because he would always pick the team that he thought was going to win. They had a winning record, and he just knew they were going to win. And as soon as his team would score, he would jump up in my face. He would wag his finger and say, see, I told you, I'm on the winning side. And then soon as my team would score a touchdown, he would sit down and be quiet for a while. He couldn't say anything. But then when his team scored, every time his team scored, he would jump up. He would take a victory lap, and the game wasn't over, as though he had already won the game. He was so excited. He was celebratory. He was just thanking the Lord. He started praising and blessing God because his team was winning and his team was up. But I told him, I said, the battle is not to the swift, but to him that endureth until the end. You hold on. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy gonna come. You know, my victory is coming. I just believe my team was gonna pull it off. And so by, believe it or not, my team would score. And before you know it, my team would score again, and my team was up, and he jumped on the other side. In other words, he said, no, 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 it ain't fair. I want to be on that team. I said, no, brother, you pick your team, and now you're going to try to switch teams now? No, you should have picked the winning team. In fact, he didn't know who was going to win, nor did I know. But the fact is, we decided who we were going to choose for our team. And I want you to know today, I can celebrate and let you know that you and I don't have to jump back and forth on different teams because we already know who's going to win. Amen. Now, you can shout now. You can celebrate now because we know that Jesus is going to prevail. He's going to win. He's more than a conqueror, and we are as well because the Bible says he overcame, and they overcame. Now, I like this part right here. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And don't you know, believe it or not, it is the Old Testament that looks forward to the New Testament. It is a New Testament that looks back to the Old Testament. In other words, the Old Testament is the New Testament conceived, and the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. In other words, the New Testament gives revelation about who this Lamb is, the Lamb of God. Abraham, when he was taking his son up on that mountain and was about to take the son's life, in other words, the angel stopped, God stopped him. But then the Bible says he asked the question, where is the Lamb? And then the Bible says, go all the way over to Revelation where John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But then I find in Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. And then they asked the question. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose his seals? In other words, dealing with earth's history, who is worthy? But I love it when he says, and no one in heaven or in earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book and read the scroll to look at it. But one of the elders said, do not weep, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and loose the seven seals. And then I stood and I saw a lamb as it was slain. You know, I'm praising God right now because Jesus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, died so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. And the reality is this, not only did he die on Calvary, not only did he rise again, not only did he go back to glory to present our cases before the Father, but now you and I on earth have to live with a testimony. My question is, have you experienced the blood in your life? Have you experienced the power of God in a way that you can testify that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord? And the Bible says it this way, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when people say that you are keeping the law to be saved, that is so far from what is right. We can't keep any law to make us right. There's nothing we can do to merit ourselves to God. There's no amount of living right. There's no amount of doing right. There's no amount cleaning our lives up that can make us right with God. I want to declare right now, the only thing that can make us right with God is the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ. Amen. The Bible says it this way, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In other words, the only way for us to get right with God, somebody had to die. And the Lamb of God, the Savior of the universe, the Savior of mankind, hung on Calvary, even though he had all power, he kicked the devil out of heaven. Why wouldn't he do the same when he was here on earth? Why didn't he destroy him right away? Why didn't he take him out? Why didn't he just take him out? In other words, even when he was cast out of heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan. So I want you to follow me now. Infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan. Because I don't know about you, but I wish the devil was destroyed right away. Because really the devil, he is the tempter. But what happens is we get a revelation of what's in our hearts every time he tempts us. Amen. I know you don't want to hear that, but every time the devil tempts us, we get a revelation of what's on the inside of us. He doesn't make us do it, but temptation is a revelation of exposure of what's in our hearts. That's why the Bible says in James, let no man say when I'm tempted of God, that when I'm tempted of God. God tempts no man with evil, but every time I'm tempted, I'm drawn away with what? My own lusts. is something inside of all of us that God wants to rid from us so that he can save us. And you know what does it? The blood of Jesus. You know what washes us clean? The blood of Jesus. Paul says we are justified without the deeds of the law. So there's no amount of doing right that can make me right with God. It is the blood of Jesus. It's almost like going to a mirror and looking in the mirror, which is a reflection of me. I see how undone I am, which is like the law of God. When I look into the law of God, I see how filthy I am. I see how unworthy I am. I see that I'm lost without Christ. I see that I'm without hope. But when I look in the mirror, I get a reflection of who I am. But then once I see who I am and what I am, I've got to say, woe is me, for I am undone, unfinished, unclean. But I praise God that I can take the washcloth of God's grace and his merited favor, and I can take that washcloth that represents the blood of Jesus, and I can begin to cleanse myself. I can wash in the blood, and then once I'm washed in the blood, then something happens to me in my experience. The word says it this way: if I confess my sins, if I simply say I'm sorry, if I confess my sins, he is worthy and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. See, in other words, Christ did not destroy the devil right away because he wanted us to demonstrate where we are in the great controversy. Notice what it says here. Since only the service of love, the service of what, everybody? The service of love can be acceptable to God. Only the service of love. See, God is not going to force us. He's not going to twist our arms. He's not going to make us. But by demonstrating what he did on Calvary, he gives a revelation of his love. And it is his love that draws you and me to the cross. And it is his love that cleanses us. It is his grace that forgives us. The allegiance of his creatures must rest upon a conviction of his justice and benevolence. I've got to walk in, I've got to know without a doubt God is right. God is fair. I got to know without a doubt God can be trusted. I can love on him because he loved me first. I got to know without a doubt that if I just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. In other words, the inhabitants of heaven and of the world being unprepared to comprehend the nature or the consequences of sin. In other words, when sin broke out, nobody knew what it looked like. Nobody ever had seen sin before. Nobody had ever seen destruction and devastation and like hurricanes. I started to say hurricane. My wife says hurricanes, and she always corrects me. So I heard her voice. This is the way, walk ye in it. So I heard her voice in my head. With destruction all around us, you know, the destruction that's there in North Carolina and the places that we see on the news, all of this is a revelation of what the devil's kingdom would look like if left unchecked by God's grace. Can you imagine what would happen to you and me? The only reason why we're here and we're looking so good, and yes, you are seated in this auditorium. The only reason why we're here wrapped in our right minds, able to worship and bless the name of Jesus, is because of the keeping power of God. Angels that excel in might are stationed around us. It is the grace of God, but it was his wisdom that did not destroy the devil right away. You and I have to look back and stand back and see for ourselves how ugly and how distasteful sin is. It says here, had he been immediately blotted out of existence, some would have served God from fear rather than from love. So let me say that again. Some would have served him out of fear, trembling, like on the Wizard of Oz when the scarecrow, when the wizard say, you know, he called the scarecrow for, remember the Wizard of Oz? When the scarecrow, some of that, that's, I'm dating myself now because some of you are wondering what the Wizard of Oz is, but I'll never forget when the Wizard of Oz went forward, he was shaking and he fell on his knees and he started bowing down as he was afraid. God doesn't want worship like that. He wants you and me to come into a place like this and be able to lift up our hands and bless him no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've experienced, and say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And notice here, the influence of the deceiver would not have been fully destroyed, nor would the spirit of rebellion have been utterly eradicated. For the good of the entire universe through ceaseless ages, he must fully develop his principle that his charges against the divine government might be seen in their true light by all created beings. We have to see it for ourselves that God is fair and that God is just and that God is good. And notice as I say this, as I prepare to transition, it says God's law is immutable, forever, placed beyond all question. The word says again, they overcame. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. In other words, it was Jesus' death on Calvary that gives you and me an opportunity to have life. If it had not been for the grace of God, if it had not been for the mercy of God, if it had not been for the power of God, where would we be? But not only does it say he overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but the text says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, you'll never have a testimony without a test. And what makes the devil so angry is that not only did Jesus overcome him, but then he went to glory. And let me show it to you. Let me tell you this way. Say it this way. When he left and went to glory, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And the comforter is for people who are uncomfortable. If you're already comfortable, you may not need the Holy Ghost. But if you're going through something, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're experiencing pain, you need the Holy Ghost. If you're experiencing loneliness, you need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a person in the Godhead, the third person, not to demote him as a number, but as the number, he is equal to God. He is God. And the Bible says when he comes, he will lead us into all truth. Now, the truth he would lead us into would be truth about ourselves, the truth about the world, and the truth about God. And the reality is this. Every knee one day will bow, and every tongue will confess that God, Jesus, is Lord. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimonies. A testimony is simply talking about the goodness of God. Has God been good to you? I mean, really, has God kept you? Has God done something for you? The word says they overcame by the blood, but then they overcame also because they shared with others what God was doing in their lives. And when you hear about what God is doing in our lives, you got to be marveled, because I don't know about you. I know that all of us are going through something. All of us are experiencing something. We're either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going into some trouble. Trouble will find you. It has your email address. It has your Twitter account. It got your Instagram handle. Trouble knows right where you are. But when you're able to dust yourself off and say, in spite of it, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. And you got to say sometimes when the devil throws stuff at you, is that all you got? You know, the fact that you are here says that. Is that all you got? You went through, I don't know what you went through this week, but you showed up to worship God. You're saying to the devil like an offensive team going against a defensive team, I got the ball and I dare you to stop me. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to lift up my hands in the course of praise, and I'm going to worship him in spite of what you're doing to me. And that's a greater testimony when you can bless God while you're going through something, not just because you came out, not just because you got over, not just because you came through, but while you're in it, you can say, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to bless your holy name. That's what worship is all about, learning to bless the Lord at all times, learning to lift up hands and say, God, I'm for you, and I thank you, and I praise you. That's what a testimony is. You see, there's a difference between a testimony and a complainamony. A complainamony is when you talk about all the bad stuff that happened to you and you just sit down and end like that. But a testimony is, yes, I'm going through something. Yes, I've been up and yes, I've been down. Yes, I've got some hard days. Yes, I'm going through this and that. But in spite of it all, God is on the throne and I'm going to see my way through. And I love it when people say, I'm going through something. That's all right, because you're going through it. You didn't go there to stay. You didn't go there to stay with it. But the Bible says it this way, this light affliction is only for a moment, and it cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. And you've got to go through some stuff to go to your stuff. The word says they overcame by the blood and by the testimony. So today, I did all that just to set it up to say there's some people that need to testify. I'm going to ask them to come on up, those of you who were designated to come and testify and talk about your experience. Come on up. Come on up. Sit on these chairs here. Come on up. You know who you are. You've already been designated. Names were given to me. I don't want to call you out, but if you're going to come on up, and we're just going to find out what did the Lord do for you. We're going to share that in these moments we have now. What did God do? That's good to hear from the people of God. Come on. Amen and amen. Come on up. Put a smile on your face. Bless the Lord. And look out in the audience and tell the folk God is going to do for me. And God is going to keep me. Amen. Come on, my sister. Is it one more person? I'm not sure. We got five seats. That's for me. Well, I'm just going to stand. I'm going to look at. I want them to see you all. So we're just going to ask. I'm going to start now. I'm going to start with Kevin on this end, and I'll come over here. But what Kevin shared with us last week, we did some outreach. And outreach is when the church goes out into the community. May go to a hospital. They may go to a nursing home. They may go to a community, and they share and they testify. But, you know, not only does sharing with others help them, but sometimes sharing with others help us. And sometimes in talking and discoursing, having a discourse with somebody, God speaks to them and they speak to us. I'm going to share. Kevin, share with us how the Lord blessed you last week.
It's always a blessing to go to. We went to the hospital. We went to Altamont Springs, Advent Health Altamont Springs. And it's always a blessing to go to the hospital because it's special to our family because my wife was in the hospital for a very long time.
Wow.
Battling with Crohn's disease and things of that nature. And when we're able to give back and go back, sharing that experience, you know, my wife always talks about the fact that you have to really understand the patients that are there. They may not have family that comes to visit them. And it is a lonely, lonely situation when you're in the hospital for an extended period of time. So whether it's a month or whatever the case may be. So whenever we get a chance to go, it's very special for her and for us because she gets to go in and give them that light that she wanted when she was there, you know what I mean? Because she said, you know, even though I was there every single day, right? You know, having people there, because you can't be there all the time.
True.
You can't visit. You can't be there around the clock. But those moments when they're not there, that no one is there, and when you are able to bring a song to their remembrance. You know, when they used to go to church or when they go to church, you know, and we are able to give that light to them. It's a blessing for us when we can do that for them and they share their appreciation for us spending that time with them. And then we're able to pray with them. You know, we ask them if there's any needs that they have or any concerns, you know, that they have, what they're going through. And so it's always a special time when we can go and visit in the hospital for us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 How did it make you? How did you feel as a result of the engagement? I mean, what happened to your spirit? What did you take away?
It is a blessing because I don't know if anyone else is going to share this one, but the last patients that we went to see. I mean, when we walked in, you felt the presence of God in there. And what we did not know is when we walked in, they shared with us they had already been worshiping.
Amen.
Right? Because it was a wife that was in and a husband that was visiting. And it was just, we just had church in there
All right.
Once we knew that, it's like, oh, okay. And then we just shared the songs that we were sharing. So what it does for me, I'm always about outreach. You know, any meetings that we're having here, I'm the first one. It's like, hey, we need to go out because that's what God has called us to do.
Amen.
Not to say church is, you know, it doesn't have a place, but I believe having more opportunities for us to go out and share the love of God by giving of ourselves and our time is where I like to be. Right, so what it does for me every time is just a blessing for me. And it just gives you fuel to say, man, we need to do more of this. So,
praise the Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Go ahead and share. Go ahead, my sister.
So for me, one of the moments, I think just overall, it was just being able to see how just what may seem like a simple song and a prayer can do so much for someone in that moment. I think one of the notable visits we had, her name was Trinita, and Chiron had asked, like, is there any song that you would want us to sing? And she's like, I don't know if you guys would know this, but Take Me to the King. And so we sang the first verse and the chorus, and then we prayed for her, but just to see how much it touched her to the point where she was just even in tears, and just being there in that moment, just seeing like the impact, I think was just a beautiful reminder that you don't know what someone is going through,
sure,
but you don't know how something seemingly small to you can be so big for them. So I think that was a powerful reminder, like throughout the whole outreach for me. And then we were also able to sing and pray with some individuals who were celebrating birthdays that day as well. So that those were other moments that were like, this is beautiful. And I'm glad that we went.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, what is so powerful is that when you go out of your way to do something, you assume that people might be all right. In fact, even in the church itself, there are people that we interface with, and sometimes we don't get a chance to know what's going on in their life. But then when you talk to people who are not in the church, we assume that because they may be not going to a church, they may not be open to God. But there are so many people who are waiting on an invitation, and they're waiting on an extension of the love of God. And so they're expressing by going that God's love can even go through us more so than just gathering. Our worship is great, but then touching the lives of others. Go ahead, my sister, share.
My name is Zori Tolber. I had so many experiences for go to the street, for ministry street, for get books
okay.
in the street.
All right.
Is car or is home? But I never had the experience for the hospital.
Okay.
For me, that's this amazing experience because you are contact mm-hmm. with the person. Mm-hmm. That day, Friday, I tell to my husband, we no go to that church. We come in here 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And I said, we no go there. We prepare the clothes and everything. But in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit tell me, no, you go right there because you go have good experience. Mm-hmm. I say, okay. I turn to my husband, what time is supposed we go be there? He say, I think so 10, but you said you're not going. No, I'm going.
All right.
Because the Holy Spirit tell me going. When I went there, the group for us, you feel we are connected mm-hmm. to each other. And we went each room. In one room, the person, we had the group, and we look in the door, and the person inside said, if you have somebody speak Spanish,
wow.
I say, I'm here.
Amen.
And we worship in Spanish, and in English, I can pray in Spanish.
Amen.
I can give whatever
right.
they need.
Right. Amen.
The more hard for me is sometimes we complain about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, you don't have this, you don't have that. But when you go right there,
yeah.
you know somebody need more
yeah.
than you.
True.
And it's the last room, they heard to me, and I had to go outside
mm-hmm.
because that is not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is outside. Get the book and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can pray when that person, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
When you see somebody hurt
yeah.
and the husband almost crying
mm-hmm.
and you want to do something for that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to God they bring me to this chair. I can enjoy with you. I enjoy to the park. I enjoy all the activity you're doing with my husband. And it's one bless. You know. And praise God, I'm still here.
Amen. Amen. And you know what's wonderful about her testimony is that we're glad that she and her husband are here. But church is about a full life. She talked about going to the park, outreach, recreation. Talked about touching souls and seeing lives. And then worship, praising God, our praise team, our band, and coming together and hearing the word, being taught of the Lord, living in a community where we can actually make disciples who love Jesus, and they become an extension of God's amazing grace. And that's what it's all about. That's what church life is about. Sometimes you may not feel something, but then all together you may know that you're in the purpose and the will of God, doing what God wants us to do, being his hands, being his feet, being his heart, and being able to reach out and touch those who need the love of God. Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead.
Can I pause to add a little bit more to what she said? She was supposed to be there. Her and her husband was supposed to be there that Sabbath because, like she said, there was a room we went into, and they all spoke Spanish.
Wow.
And the gentleman that was there, he was a pastor. He'd been pastoring for a number of years, and you know, he didn't tell us what was wrong, but he was in the hospital.
Yes.
And the prayer that she put down on that brother, like, amen, we didn't understand it, but we could feel it. You know, so I just want to just let her know that, let you know that your ministry is important.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So even, because she, like I said, if Tracy was here, she would tell you too. She was supposed to be there.
Yes, yes.
You know,
And I concur with you. That providential, like she said, she felt moved in her heart that God wanted her to be there. And as you mentioned, being able to speak Spanish and be able to do that, that was an incredible move of God. And I know the last time we were here, my wife and I, when we came, we also met a pastor, an older pastor, he was in like his 70s or 80 years old, and Joanne, she sang a song, and I mean, it felt like the Spirit of God came in the place, the wife started crying, and he had been pastoring for like 40-something years, and he was saying his spirit was lifted, his spirit was blessed, and it's nothing like, again, just reaching out and touching somebody else with your life. That's what happens in the ministry, that God wants to use us to be his hands, to touch people's lives. Go ahead, Akil. God bless you. Amen.
So I also had a similar experience, as in I was not necessarily planning to go. I kind of woke up a little bit later than I usually do, and I was just like, I'm probably going to miss it. They're going to do something. But I was just like, I'm going to make the effort to show up regardless. And I feel like you kind of, that experience, I didn't really realize how blessed I was until after the experience was over. The fact that I could, that I voluntarily walked into a hospital on my own power, and I voluntarily walked out on my own power, and I wasn't given a bill when I walked out. You know, it's something that's very, you really don't think about that stuff until after the fact. And something that, a second part that really stood out to me and that really showed me that I was blessed was we went to the second floor. Was it the second floor or third floor? And fourth floor. We went to a floor, and like at hospitals, like there's specific floors for specific reasons. And so as we're waiting, Chiron and Tracy are talking to the nurses. As we're waiting there, I want to know what this floor is about. And so I look on the sign, and the sign says oncology. I didn't know what that word meant. And I consider myself a very loquacious person. I like to, you know, learn words and what words mean. But as I was sitting there, I was standing next to my friend Lisa, and I had to, you know, I was like, what does that word mean? I had to pull out my dictionary and look up what oncology means. And oncology is, correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, study of cancer. Cancer. And it just showed me again how blessed I was, because I don't know what that word meant, meaning that I've never had cancer. I haven't, you know, had to visit one of my family members who have had cancer, and I compare it kind of like to, like, when I say the word ramen, you know, all the college students know exactly what I'm talking about. That broke phase in your life where that's all you could eat. And so, like, I'm very thankful and grateful that I never had an oncology phase. you know, that I never had a phase where I had to, you know, go into the hospital and you don't know when you're going to get out or what's going to happen. And so we met this lady named Jenna, I believe her name was Jenna. And I remember she looked over at Cairo and she was just like, when I was your age, we would go and sing to people while they were in the hospital. And just to see like the circle of life. Now she's here sitting in the hospital and we're singing to her. And it just made me think like, wow, like, you know, it's no guarantee. We come to church, we praise God, and we think that he's gonna cover us and protect us from anything that happens. That we're, you know, life is just gonna be the smooth sailing and we're just gonna go straight into heaven with no struggles and no problems. But it's just like this, it's part of life. It's part of life. And another thing that I thought about after the fact was the it being easy to praise God and it being likely to praise God. And me standing up, looking at this lady who's sitting in an oncology bed in a hospital, who is it easier to praise God? It should be easier for me to praise God because I'm the one standing up. I'm the one who can leave and I have no problems. But who's more likely to be praising God? It's most likely going to be her because she's going through it. You know, like there's something about going through the fire that really just buoys your faith because you just know like there's only one person that can get me out of the situation that I'm in right now. And it's not me. It's not my family members. Sometimes it can't even be the doctors who are here to help me. And so I kind of like learned like when you have everything, it's a lot easier just to think that God can give me more. But it's not until you lose everything, when your back is on the bed and you have nothing left, that it's just like, this is when you really have to, real faith, you know, like the fire is either going to consume you or it's going to refine you. And so that's something, it's something that you can only speak to from personal experience. And as we, you know, saw her, we ministered to her, but it was more of a ministry to us because I was just like, I have like so much, like beyond things to be thankful for in my life.
Amen. Did you have something you was going to say?
Yes. Another stuff. We went to the room. The guy had a cancer at 4. But I see that guy, they have more faith than me. They say, no matter what happened, God is with me. Wow. And I see sometimes we don't have the faith like some people. It's true, you know. Sometimes we wanted something, but he said maybe. But that guy and other stuff is all the patient we see after before that we leave, they are smiling. All of it. We see the face, they change. When we pray and we sing it, they change. That's what we need. Gives at least one little happiness, you know.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and we take it for granted, as we mentioned, that sometimes when we are distanced away from reality, distanced from heartache, distanced from death or sickness, it seems like life is just okay and going good for us. But it's not until we face those challenges in real life that we understand that life is real. When you go into a hospital, like you mentioned, and you're able to walk out, that's a blessing. Amen. I mean, that's a blessing to be able to go in and minister and share with someone the love of Jesus and be able to walk out. And the bottom line is this, that God wants to use each one of us in a way that no matter where you are, there are people in your circle, there are people in your life, there are people in your neighborhood, in fact, in your own family that you can give a ray of hope to and let them know that God is able, no matter what you're going through. God can fix it. And just by encouraging them, just singing a song, just praying a prayer. I mean, many times I pray with people and I talk with folk, and you can see the difference that it makes. And I know as a result of them sharing, these people will never forget those experiences. They will go on and live that. And so whenever time is given to us to go out and share, to go out and talk about God's mercy, which I'm grateful for, with Message of Hope, that there's an intentionality about outreach. I know we've gone and fed the homeless. We've gone down and blessed those who are in the hospital. We've done so many things. And the Bible says, when you've done it unto the least of my children, you've done it unto me. In fact, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about how Christ, when he comes back, he's coming back for a people who served him. And we know that in Matthew 24, it talks about the coming of Christ. Christ is coming again. There's signs as given. But then in Matthew 25, he says this, when he comes back, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. The Bible says there's going to be some on the left and some on the right, sheep and goats. And listen to what it says. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then notice the stipulation that he places here. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the Bible says, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison to come to you? And he says, and the king will answer, and I say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. In other words, when we understand the true value and the worth of a soul, we'll begin to treat one another with respect and dignity. In other words, we'll love each other in a way that we've never loved before. When I understand the value that God has placed on you, and when I see the need and I understand that there are those who are less fortunate, those who need just a touch of God, we're able to reach out to them and bless them. I want to ask, does anybody else have another word before we close? Anything else? Anything else the Lord put on your heart that you wanted to say?
I said, the next time you're going somewhere, invite him to me.
Amen. 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 Any other closing remarks? Any other remarks that God has put on your heart today to share with the people of God?
All right. I would just like to say that it was a great experience. I know that we all were blessed by it, but it's also just, it really helped my faith walk, because it just helped me realize that there's a lot of, there's just like a special feeling or a special understanding that you get when you go through trials and tribulations. And, you know, we come here every Sabbath and, you know, we sing these songs, but sometimes, like, there's a song that just has like a special meaning to you, and it takes on a new meaning to you once you go through a certain thing. And so the last song that we had sung for those people was It Is Well With My Soul. And we sang the song for them, and then the husband explained to us the meaning behind the song. And so we were just like, oh, like that song, the writer of that song, it has a special meaning to him. And I know that, you know, for me personally, you know, there are certain songs that I've sung, I've listened to so many times, but like when you go through something, it like takes on a whole different meaning, because it's just like, this is real.
Amen.
This is real. You know, what God can do is real in our lives.
Amen. Amen. And it is real. Life is real. And there are people who are hurting. And there are people not only hurting around us, but there are people hurting right in our midst. And we want to be a blessing to those who need the love of God. And the Bible lets us know that nothing lives to itself except the selfish heart of man. In the economy of God, the Bible says God wants us to take in order to give. We receive in order to bless somebody else. And today, I'm praying that we would have that spirit of hospitality, the spirit of generosity, the spirit of kindness and love and compassion. And understand that Jesus said, as you've done it unto them, you've done it unto the least of my children, you've done it unto me. I'm praying today that God would bless us and that God would save us. And before we close, I don't know today, I know we've did a little something different by testifying and sharing the testimonies. But when you walk out of here, let me ask, is it all well, as they say with that song, is it well with my soul? Is it well with my soul? When I walk out of here, when I look up in the sky and I see the clouds and I see the sun And at night I see the stars. Can I say it's well with my soul, with my creator? Am I at one with God? Have I closed a gap? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Jesus wants to walk with us and talk with us. He really wants to be our friend. And we've learned that God come, that he came, that we might have life and have it abundantly. He says, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when the very elements will burn like a fervent heat. And seeing that all these things shall be, what manner of individuals ought we to be? Jesus said, I'm coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in my Father. For my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I go, and the word said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. What a promise that one day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, the word of God says there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache. And we don't have to worry about going to any more hospitals. No more funerals, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. Former things will be done away with. And the good news is this. Jesus said, I'm going to wipe away tears from your eyes. And when he comes back, the question is, will you be ready? Have you made a covenant with him by sacrifice? For the Bible says in that text, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by their testimonies. And then it says they love not their lives unto death. That's what the verse says. They love not their lives unto death. In other words, like the Hebrew boys, they would rather die than disobey God. They would rather give up their life than to turn their back on their maker. And I think about Jesus on that cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? His Father had turned his back and darkness enveloped the cross. And he felt the separation of his Father. And he felt what every sinner will feel outside of the mercy of God. He died the second death so that you and I can have life in eternal life. And so today, if you don't have that life, I'm going to ask you to reach out by faith and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And today you want to say, yes, God, I need that salvation. Yes, God, I want to walk in the newness of life. Yes, God, I need you as my Savior. Please, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus extending to you and me another chance. It's not over yet. And I don't care what you walked in here with. You don't have to walk out of here with it. You can lay it at the feet of the cross and lift. And he will lift your burdens and he will take them to himself, and you'll experience a joy that the world can't give you and the world can't take it away. Today I'm praying for you today. Father God, we thank you for your amazing grace today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your constant watch care. We thank you for giving us the privilege to share with others who are less fortunate, going to the hospital, going into sick rooms, and being able to extend the touch of Jesus through a song, through a prayer, through just the touch itself. Lord, there's so many people that's less fortunate than us who don't have what we have, the opportunity to even come and hear the songs that we just heard and understand the word that we just heard, and to know that there's a fellowship that will take place one day beyond this world, where there'll be no more heartache, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more death. Oh, Lord, we long for that day when you shall come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the same Savior that was on that mountain that said the same Jesus that you see leaving will come again in like manner. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him in the side. Father, we pray that you will prepare our hearts for your coming. We ask that you will purge us with hyssop. Lord, restore unto us the joy of salvation, create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit, Lord. May we walk with you and talk with you. May we listen to that sweet small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. And may one day when the clouds roll back like a scroll and the last prayer has been prayed and the last sermon has been preached and the last church service is over and he that shall come will come and you're coming down through the corridors of time on that white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we look up and say, lo, this is our God. We waited for you, and Lord, may we hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's going to happen. You promised us it's going to happen. You said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And then it will be brought to pass. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, Lord, we know that it's going to happen. May you prepare our hearts today, right now, for every believer that's watching online, those who are here, even in this service. May we all come to know you as it is our privilege to know you, so that we'll hear you say, enter into the joys. We want to hear you say that, Lord. So we ask that you would help us. We believe, help our unbelief. Save us when you come. And for that person that's here today who need to make their calling and election sure, may they reach out in faith right now and say, yes, Lord, by raising their hand, saying, yes, Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need a relationship with you. I need to walk with you and talk with you. I need you as my God. I tried it on my own, but I'm tired and I'm weary and I need you right now. Jesus, I need you. May the God of the universe bless us, and may he keep us, and may he bless us until the end when he shall come, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.